Today on Real Radio.
He willingly laid down his life, allowed himself to be struck in the face and his beard to be plucked out of his cheeks, to have his back laid open and humans to ram nails through his hands and his feet. That's Christ's life.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're in a mini-series taken from a section of chapter 12. Now, despite what the believers in Corinth put Paul through, the apostle continues to love with what goes far beyond mere Christian charity. It's a kind of love that can only come by the Holy Spirit of God. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called, What Love Is This?
But Jesus' righteousness answers the law for you, and now you walk in the Spirit. You walk after God. And when you and I sin against the law, the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's absolutely awesome. What love is this? That God loves you so much and He has made Himself so open, so vulnerable to have you with Him in heaven forever. Secondly, what love is this that is so willing to become the least? Paul's love for the Corinthians displays his desire to be the least of the least. He says, for in nothing was I behind, I'll explain this in a moment, than the most eminent apostles, though I am nothing. Sounds almost like an oxymoron statement that he's saying. He said, Corinthians, line up all the apostles. Get Peter, James, John, get them all up here. In fact, throw in those who say they're apostles too. In my life, now watch, this is awesome. If you examine my life, you guys, he's saying, and their lives, what do you see? This is amazing. And I believe you guys, I really believe what I'm about to say. If you don't believe it, don't tell me. You'll hurt my feelings. I believe that if America is going to turn around, it is going to take not some answer from the government. We already know that. It's not going to be a political answer. It is going to be an answer from God's people. And the answer from God's people will be an answer that will be given to them. And it will be an answer given to them by God Himself, because God is looking for people. Listen, I don't want to scare you with this. God is looking for people that are wholly dedicated to Him. Are you willing to be wholly dedicated to God? Because, listen, God always wins the battle with a few people. He never wins with a big... Look at Israel right now. A nation the size of New Jersey, hated by the world and surrounded by a bunch of lunatics. But, Pastor Jack, it's only us. Only us with God's the majority. He's not a God of statistics. He's not influenced by polls. Well, what was the latest Gallup poll? Oh, well, then I guess we shouldn't try. No! Look, you want to make second and third service go crazy? What if this service just... if we dedicated ourselves solely to God in devotion to Him, what will happen? A revival will happen. That's what America needs. It's not more money. It's not more laws. God knows we have enough. It's revival among God's people. The answer for this nation is for the church to wake up and for the church to get up and the church to act up in love. This is what's needed. But to do that, Paul is saying, I am an apostle, no less than all the others. So it sounds like he's building himself up, but then he turns right around in the same sentence and says, though I am nothing. What is he saying? He understands something that very few people get the chance to understand, and it's by choice. It means this: I'm no less anointed than the other apostles, but this thing I know, every time that God has used me, been blatantly clear, Paul is saying that God is the one doing it. It's not me. If you're visiting today and you're a Christian, you're going to go back to your church after vacation or whatever's going on, go back to your church without delay sign up about being involved at your church. Get involved. Why? Because for those who choose to get involved, God issues special grace. That special grace he gives is a grace that causes you to be discovering your gift or gifts given to you by the Holy Spirit. According to the Bible, every Christian has a gift. If you don't know what your gift is, I love you, but shame on you. If you're a Christian today and you do not know what your spiritual gift is to be used in the body of Christ to build up the church, then shame on you. We are being held back because you have not discovered your gift. We need you. So you go back to your church and you pray and you say, Lord, I'm going to step out and I'm going to get serving in my church wherever I attend. Why is that important? Because special grace is given. You will be experiencing the revelation of God in ways that you cannot get out of a book. Look, I mean this with all reverence. You can't even get it out of the Bible because the Bible says to go do it. But if you don't obey what the Bible says to do, you won't get the blessings that are written in the Bible. You get up and you say, Lord, I'm going to go back to my church and I'm going to change diapers to the glory of God in the nursery. Or I'm going to give God glory by being a parking lot attendant or a greeter or an usher or whatever. Find out what your gift is and do it. You don't want to be the kind of Christian that just folds your arms and cruises and you miss what it is to be a Christian who is nothing. So what'd you say? You heard me. You want to be a Christian, like Paul just said, who is the least. Nothing. Why? Because when you're nothing. Listen, we all think you're something, by the way. God thinks you're something. But when God uses his people, they themselves see themselves as nothing. And you can't convince them otherwise. And when God sees someone who sees themselves as nothing, he says, I can do something with nothing. I like this kind of nothing because I can do something. And he'll use you. And there's no greater confidence, there's no greater peace, there's no greater display of power in your life when you are being an instrument in that area that God's called you to serve. The point is, Paul is saying, I know that I'm nothing because I've seen God at work. I've placed myself in that arena where God could use me. I've seen what happens. I could never have done it, but I know myself, I am nothing. And he's not being dramatic. He's not goofing off in this statement. He means it. In Mark 9:35, the Bible says Jesus sat down and called the 12 disciples together and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. Isn't that great? Because, you know, it's our human nature. It's like, how do we get to be first in line? How do we do this? And I want the bigger slice of the pie. And you know, it's just our nature. It's our human nature. But the amazing thing is this. Jesus says, when the kingdom is at work in your life, you're pretty excited about serving other people. And there's a delight about being last. In Matthew 20:25, Jesus called the disciples together and said to them, you know that the rulers of this world lord it over their people. Man, isn't that true? And officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. He's talking to Christians here. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be the first among you must be your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life a ransom for many. Where did Paul get this from? From Jesus. Where do we get this from? From Paul. We follow him as he follows Christ. The example that Jesus has given us. What love is this that is so willing? Verse 11 goes on, so willing to become like Christ. Christ-like. It's God's will for you and I in this world that people see us like Jesus. Wouldn't it be great, you guys? It's God's will. You say, I want God's will for my life. Okay, here's God's will. You ready? Write it down. He wants people to mistake you and I in this world for Jesus. He wants the world to go, what? What? That person's acting like Jesus. You say, Jack, that's awesome, but who am I? Oh, that is true, Jack, but what can I do? Well, this is the beauty to your observation. It's a beauty to my observation. We can't. Remember, you and I, can I be a little bit sarcastic with you right now? But in love, I mean it. You are no less than any of the eminent Christians in our nation, our world today. You're no less than Billy Graham or who's out there these days. You're no less than. See, you and I look at others and we think, oh, I wish I could be like them. No, first of all, God doesn't want you like them. God wants you like him. And we begin to look at others and start to like match things out. And God says, no, don't do that. Here's the deal. You are not any less than the most eminent believers in your community. And you say, well, I don't think so. I don't feel like that. But the Bible says, yet you're nothing. Or we say we are nothing. The truth of the matter is you are available and willing because God wants to use you. And Jesus Christ, who is God Almighty, come to earth in human skin. God incarnate, the incarnation, came. And the Bible says he willfully humbled himself. He willfully became obedient even to the death of the cross. He willingly laid down his life. God, imagine, the Almighty, allowed himself to be struck in the face and his beard to be plucked out of his cheeks, to have his back laid open and ignorant humans to ram nails through his hands and his feet. That's Christ-like. My goodness, we're coming this. I thought last week for Christians in the world was bloody, and yet this week has been the bloodiest. Are you watching the news? Christians being put to death. In fact, there was a news broadcast this week, and the headlines was global persecution against Christians rising. Indonesia, rising. Middle East, rising. Persecution. Christians are dying. Egypt, they're dying. They're laying down their lives like Jesus. The Bible tells us in Galatians 4, verse 18, it is good to be zealous in a good thing always. And not only when I am present with you, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is what? Formed in you. That means we are to be like little Jesus is walking around. When I get into debates with people about the gods of other religions, I make it a point to seize the opportunity to tell them about the great things that my God does and my God has done and is doing and will do. And it's really easy because I can just point to the Bible. I can point to my own life. I can point to your life. And I always like saying when someone is trying to promote another God for themselves, I always say, well, in your culture, where does your God rule supreme in your culture? Well, in this part of the world, or in that nation, or in that place. Oh, okay. Well, then, can I ask you something? Outside of any Judeo-Christian worldview intervention in your nations or in your culture, what has your God done for you lately? You should see their faces. Ask people from now on, when they're promoting another God, ask them, what has your God done for you lately? What has your God done where he has free reign to do exactly as your God dictates? You think about that for a moment. I like to boast in the power of my God. And God wants you and I to be like Christ. And so what do I mean by that? Well, those who adhere to other gods, for example. And then you have a Christian. And let's say you know that each of them really believe in what they believe in. Did you hear me? They really believe in what they believe in. I'm not asking you if you believe what they believe in. That's irrelevant. They believe what they believe. You can say, well, I don't believe what they believe. It doesn't matter. They believe it. So imagine for a moment right now. If you look around at the world, look around at the troubles that are going on in the world right now. The rioting around the world. Violence. Persecution. Who is persecuting who? Are atheists persecuting the Christians? No. In your mind, answer the question, who's persecuting the Christians? And then take the Christian God and the Christian who is tangibly, physically standing in front of you. Allow me to be sarcastic. Not the Christian God is standing in front of you, the Christian who lives for his God, right? And then you have someone else. Say it's a Muslim. And the Muslim is here, and he is devoted to live for his God in his book. And the Christian is devoted to live for his God in his book. And you're in the middle. And here's the challenge. You need to stay in one of their houses this night. Whose house would you pick to stay in overnight? Whose house would you sleep better in? If you've read their books and then you've studied what they do, forget about what people say, what do they do? You'll have to pick. Now, doesn't that sound unkind? Oh, I can't believe you said that. Well, why not? Because if you like it or not, we are commanded in Scripture to judge ourselves and one another by the fruit that is being emitted from our lives. And Paul is issuing a challenge. If you follow Jesus, you will be the most, radical, loving individual the world has ever seen. You will cast your own safety to the wind, your own reputation to the wind. You will cast your own preservation to the wind, your own profit to the wind. Why? For others. In John 13:12, the Bible says, when he had washed their feet and taken his garment, he sat down again, this is Jesus, and said to them, do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. This is the heart of our God. What if I was ending the service a little early this morning so we would bring out buckets of water and towels? Now, have you ever washed someone's feet before? If you've ever had that go on in your life, if you've ever had that happen, is it easier to have your feet washed or to wash someone's feet? Say it again. Did I say, is that what's harder? To wash someone's feet? Okay, good. Yes, you're correct. Good. I misunderstood you. You're right. You'd think for a moment, what? To wash someone's feet? This is a miracle in my opinion. If you've never washed someone's feet, the most embarrassing thing about the washer or the washed, you would think, if you've never done it, you would think, I would never want to wash someone's feet. And if you just stand back and say, I'm not going to love. I'm going to be a spectator. I am not going to get involved. I'll just watch from here. Then you will say with me today, it's much more challenging to wash someone's feet until you do it. Why? The moment you wash someone's feet, by the way, how many of you are married in here? Raise your hands. You're married? Husbands, go home today and wash your wife's feet. And all the wives said, Yeah. But when you go to wash, something happens. When you make yourself available to serve God and you start washing, what he's saying is amazing. He humbled himself and he washed their feet. We're to humble ourselves and wash the feet of others. The amazing thing about washing someone's feet is you start to see a funny look on their face. Those whose feet are about to be washed, they get very anxious. They get very nervous. And all of a sudden, the table completely flips. And the person who's getting their feet washed, their face gets red, and they start to break down. When you make yourself available, God gives you the strength and the power. And when you serve, it winds up affecting the other person. And remember what Peter did? You will not wash my feet. And Jesus said, oh, that's cool. That's fine. If I don't, you have no business in my life, in this ministry. You're not part of us. And Peter had to decide, Jesus or my pride. And Peter said to Jesus, well, not only my feet, but wash my head too. And Jesus said, calm down, Peter. You're fine. Just the feet is okay. Isn't that great? Our God's real, ladies and gentlemen. He is real, and he loves. And we need to be very careful, because you can be tainted by the verbiage that's out there today that Christianity stinks and the church is a joke. Don't listen to that trash. The world is getting bandaged up, loved, and cared for, and fed because there are people just like you following Jesus. Our God's real. And the Bible says there is no other God. And for political correctness sake, we run around saying, everybody worships the same God. Have you ever heard that before? Who says this? Only people who are uninformed say this. It's okay as long as you're sincere. Really? Well, Mao was sincere. Hitler was sincere. Mussolini was sincere. Charlie Manson was sincere. Sincerity has nothing to do with it. We don't worship the same God. There's a bazillion gods out there, but only one's real. And this week in the news, it was proven again to an unbelieving world. You guys, you want to put this slide up and we'll end with this. This was from Inquisar News. Did you guys read? For those of you who may be watching or listening on the radio right now, this is the news headlines. Israel miracle, ? Gaza Strip, Hamas complain. Quote, by the way, you can Google this later. It's in all kinds of newspapers around the world. Their God changes the paths of our rockets in midair. I didn't say this. I didn't say this. They said it. Why? Because they know they're worshiping another God, a different God. Look at it. You need to see this. How does this happen? You and I serve the one and only true living God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of the Bible. The God who revealed himself, Jesus Christ. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Listen, you might write me a note. That was a politically incorrect message you gave today. Please send it. It will be a badge of honor. Because listen, there's one God. And he revealed himself to mankind. He's the creator of the universe. And he's the creator of you. And he loves you. And he wants you in his kingdom. And Jesus came to reveal such love that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that would believe in him, would not perish, but have everlasting life. Free gift. And it's free for the taking.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called What Love Is This? It's actually a series within a series taken from a section in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and it's all part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter. We'll continue with more of What Kind of Love Is This on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Hey, listen, if you have not visited reallifewithjackhibbs.org lately, you really should when you get a chance. reallifewithjackhibbs.org is a great resource. Just one visit and you'll know what we're talking about. You can access just about anything connected to Real Radio, previously aired Real Radio programs, real life videos, real life devotions. Of course, you hear us mention those from time to time. You can get in on our special offers and Pastor Jack's hand-selected book of the month and a whole lot more. So once again, visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.